welcome to the Thursday session of Ecom Weekly. We're going to be talking about a really cool topic, and that's going to be e-commerce accounting. You know, why is it so important, and what's the differences? You know, how can we become better sellers and have better operations just understanding e-com accounting? And I've got a couple of experts that I'm going to introduce in a second. But anyways, my name is Norm Farrar, and I have a podcast called Lunch with Norm, the Amazon FBA and Ecom podcast that happens every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Today, we're going to get started, like I said, with the accounting, e-commerce accounting explained, which is different than a normal setup that we would do. The room will be recorded. If you do want to ask or come up on stage, raise your hand. If you don't want to be recorded, don't raise your hand. We also want to provide just quality content. That's what this is all about. We're not pitching anybody. It's content. So if you do come up on stage, please no pitches, no courses. We're pretty good on the mute button. And finally, I just wanted to thank Startup Club for allowing us to have this room. And if you do want to hear other really great entrepreneurial or attend other great entrepreneurial rooms, make sure that you click the greenhouse up on the top left. I'm showing that I have a poor signal. I'm hoping everybody can hear me okay. Now, that's it. We can get into the topic today and introduce our guest, Lil Roberts. How are you?
Doing awesome, Norm. Super excited to be here with everyone. We just love e-com. As you know, we were at Prosper together, and e-com businesses are the future, right? And the future is here.
Absolutely. E-com is exploding. And, you know, one thing I do want to tell people, because there's so many people out there leaning against Lamborghinis and flashing cash. And, you know, that's not the case. Yeah, there might be the odd person that's doing it, but for the most part, it doesn't work that way. We have to act like a business. We build it like a business. And, you know, I love building brands, but e-com is completely different. If you're building an e-com business or an Amazon business, you might find out that, well, I can tell you this for a fact, that if you just go to a typical accountant and you try to tell them that you're an Amazon seller, they're going to look at you like you're a deer in the headlights. So that's why I think it was so important that I bring Lil on and Lewis, who's going to be talking about tax a little bit later on. But where do you want to start, Lil?
You know, I guess let's start with the basics, right? And Norm, I'm 100% with you. We're not here looking for customers. Obviously, if anybody wants to become a customer, we love that. But we're here because we have a passion and a love for small businesses. And, you know, I'm with you. As you know, my background, I'm not a CPA. Lewis is a CPA. He's a forensic CPA. When it comes to the traditional industry understanding e-com, it's very difficult because it's like no other business. There's a lot of nuances to e-com that's different than doing bookkeeping and tax for regular everyday businesses. So I guess I'd like to start with the foundation. And the foundation is that really you want to make sure that you're with the right entity, that you've signed your business up as the right entity. So if I give a high level of it, you know, let's talk about this over the next 20, 30 minutes. We're going to talk about the right entity for your business. Then once you're in the right entity, that it is really important to do monthly bookkeeping. And then what tools do you need to use? What's the financial tech stack? And then from there, we'll get into the fun part of how do you maximize tax savings? And that's where Lewis is going to get a lot of great information. Does that sound good, Norm?
Sounds fantastic. You know, one of the things, like accounting for most people, it's like, oh my gosh, it's pulling teeth. You know, for some people, Lil, I don't want to say, you know, for everybody, but this is definitely a room that you want to hear because these tips will save you time and money. So let's get going with just the basics.
Okay. So the basics are, you know, as a business owner, you need to sign up what's called an entity type for your business. And then the tax type is different than the entity type. And so I'm going to, Lewis and I will share about it. You know, most people, you don't necessarily want to just be a DBA or a sole proprietor. You want to have some type of liability, right? Lewis, you want to be an LLC, an LLC, which is going to be your entity type. And then when you're an LLC, you can be a different tax type. You know, if you don't choose a different tax type as an LLC, you could be a single member LLC, which means you're going to be a Schedule C on your tax return. Or you can file to become an S election. Now, Lewis, what's the benefit of an S election? At what point in profit should they be an S election versus just a straight LLC?
Well, the problem with the, well, not the problem, but the tax disadvantage of being a Schedule C filer is that line 31, at your total net income, you're paying self-employment tax 15.3% on line 31. However, if you're an LLC, you have the flexibility to elect to be taxed as an S-Corp, where then you can then further elect to only take a salary of, like, say, 45% of your net income, and so that, and you pay self-employment tax on that.
So let's break that into layman terms,
right?
Okay, because they're not going to know, like, line 31. Perfect.
So if you have $100,000 of net income as a Schedule C filer, you're paying $15,300 in self-employment tax.
Social Security.
Social Security, Medicare. If you're a schedule, if you elect to be taxed as an S corp, you only have to pay that self-employment tax or employment taxes on half of your income, or we like to say about 45% of your net income. So you're saving.
So let's do the math if we can, right?
Right.
So the math would be $45,000 would be your salary, because the IRS is looking for what's called a reasonable salary,
right?
So they pay themselves $45,000 instead of $100,000. And now they only have to pay, so that 15% on
$45,000.
About $6,500. So now they're paying Social Security. So everybody has to pay Social Security, but when you're an employer, self-employed, you're paying for the other side of the Social Security, the employers. So now they're only going to pay $6,500 versus $15,000. And then, but now what do they do with that other $55,000 in profit that they want to put in their pocket? They'd take that as what?
Right. It's just a very informal distribution from income, or just corporate distributions. You can just take that via a check. You can take a wire transfer. You can pay personal expenses from that and just classify it as a distribution.
And then so they're still going to be liable for income tax, but what we're saying is Social Security. So Norm, did that come across as layman terms? That are you following what we mean by that?
I think so, but if anybody does have a question about this, please raise your hand.
Okay. So entity type first and foremost. So some people, now we may have some people on right now that maybe are foreign entities, right? And if they're a foreign entity and they want to sell Amazon in the U.S., so for them, their tax type typically is a C corporation because they need a taxpayer ID number. If they have a taxpayer ID number, or if they're American and they have a Social Security number, then they would take the S election. Okay, so the only caveat is if we have foreign people that live abroad that are not U.S. citizens, that their entity type, they want to chat with us about their entity type. You know, they want to be an LLC, but then the type of tax return they file. So structure of your entity type and what tax return type you choose, two separate things, are super important to the foundation of your business. Now, do we have anyone raising their hands that need any clarification on that? And if not, we'll move right into bookkeeping and tech stack.
I do not see anybody, so let's just keep moving.
You got it. All right, great. So now the next area is, you know, the next part of your foundation is monthly financials. And so you want to do monthly bookkeeping, whether you do it or you use a company like us that's online bookkeeping, or if you can find, you know, traditional that understands e-commerce. But whichever way, it is an investment in your financial your financial security, safety, compliance, all of it. You need monthly bookkeeping. Don't wait till the end of the year to try to do your books, because you're going to miss out on valuable tax savings that you can have. So to do monthly bookkeeping, it needs to be done in one of two programs. It needs to be done in either QuickBooks Online or Xero. We work with both, but we have a preference for zero with e-com companies. And I'll tell you why. E-com companies have a rather robust tech stack. So you may be on Amazon, you may be on Shopify. If you're on Amazon, you may integrate with A2X and those different software packages that you may be using to run the revenue side of your business, you're going to want them to integrate directly with the tool. So QBO and Xero are just tools, no different than if you want to, you know, do some renovations around the house and you have a saw and a hammer. If you're not a carpenter, the work is not going to be as good, right? And so it's the same thing. If you want the best quality accounting work, you want to use trained professionals that use those same tools. But you, by all means, can do a, you know, do it yourself and use the tool. So be sure that you either have Xero or QBO. Don't go with FreshBooks or Wave or any of them. You know, you have an Amazon business, you have a Shopify business, e-com. It's going to grow. It's going to get big. And you need to, from the beginning, have the right tools. Most people, when they come to us, have been, you know, really just running their business by looking at their revenue numbers in their app from Seller Central or from Shopify. You're leaving money on the table. So foundation, monthly bookkeeping. Now, why is it important to do monthly? Because monthly is what gives you a snapshot of your business. Your sales, when you're doing sales, are done monthly, right? So you want to know what's your monthly revenue against your monthly expenses. Maybe you have a physical location. If you do, you're paying rent monthly. You have insurance. You have communication, phone. So you want to know, are you profitable each month? Correct, Lewis?
Yes, that's very important.
Yep. And then so from that, when you now we'll get into a couple of tax tips around this. So say somebody is running e-com, right? We have tons of e-commerce. Say they're making $100,000 a month, right, in profit. And then it gets to be, I don't know, October, November, December. What kind of tax tips are you giving them in those months to help them minimize their tax burden, their income tax burden? What are you saying to them that they need to be doing?
Right. So first of all, you want to make sure that you're paying estimated taxes, or else at the end of the year, you're going to get this big, huge tax bill, and you're going to be shocked. But ways to minimize your taxes would be to make sure that you account for all your expenses. Now, a lot of e-commerce small business owners forget that money they spend out of their pocket, cash or on their personal credit cards, might not hit the business bank account. So whoever's doing the books might not know about those expenses. You want to keep track of all of those expenses so you can add them to your books at the end of the year. Very important, because you can leave money on the table.
And your car payment.
But yeah, auto. Every business needs an auto. So whether you have the auto actually on the business's books to use depreciation, or you just use the mileage rate, you know, however many miles you drive times the standard mileage rate, 56 cents for 2021. Either way, you want to make sure you account for mileage or a vehicle, because every business has to have a vehicle. The other thing is you want to make sure you take advantage of retirement savings, whether you have a SEP IRA or, you know, you just you contribute money to a traditional IRA. Either way, don't leave money on the table there. Other things.
Prepays.
You can prepay expenses. You could, you know, buy inventory up front, because you can get a tax deduction for that in the current year, even though you don't sell it until January, February of next year.
So let's break that down a little bit. So it's October. They're getting ready for the holiday season. They've got $100,000 of profit on the books. So what you're saying is buy all the inventory they need, and instead of putting it over 30, 60, 90 days, pay it in full before the end of the year.
Right.
So by paying it in full before the end of the year, it will go against their profit for this year. Now, they're going to have the same problem next year, right? And it'll be a bigger problem. But you kick the can down the road, because now you use, say you have a so business that we're talking about, $100,000 a month, $1.2 million profit a year, pay themselves, say, $80,000 a year, they've got a pretty big number of profit that they got to pay. So more than likely, they're going to be paying 35% of that to the government. So if they spend another $200,000 in inventory that they prepaid, knowing that that's what's going to take them through to, say, January or February, provided the inventory doesn't get stale or old, then they're going to take that $200,000 right off, and that 30% or 35%, $60,000, $70,000 was money they would have been paying Uncle Sam. That's instead an inventory for them to make money on.
That's an investment.
I like that.
You're investing.
Yeah, you're investing in the business. Norm, any questions around that?
I'll put it out there. Does anybody have any questions so far? And Lil, I'll let you know if I see a hand raise.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. So, you know, prepays, right entity.
The other thing is that a lot of e-com, there's a lot of expenses that come from like marketing and advertising. So get with your broker and ask them if they could prepay some marketing or advertising. That we have a few, I've ran into that quite a few times this past year where one of our customers wanted to prepay and said, is it okay? Of course it is. That's a benefit to you. Prepay it, you put it on the expense for the current year, and you can use those credits next year. Any expense line item that you have, try to prepay.
Which is awesome. And those you want to do really as you get into October, November, and December.
Right.
And then when's a good time, Lewis, that they should be looking at profitability and tax savings? Is it something they should do quarterly to best practice, like, you know, see how they're trending? Because, you know, a lot of e-com, as we know, businesses make the bulk of their money in the fourth quarter of the year. But do you say at what level your business is, should you be looking at talking tax strategy quarterly? Is it if you have $100,000 in profit, $200,000 in profit?
I mean, I don't really think that there's a number. I think that once you're profitable, you want to talk with a tax professional quarterly at least to make sure that you know where you are and how much tax you may owe, so you can put money aside. Certainly once you get into the large numbers, $50,000 a quarter, $100,000 a quarter, $100,000 a month, you definitely want to make sure that you're speaking to a tax professional so you can put aside the right amount of money and you can pay into the IRS or pay in to the state, so you don't end up at the end of the year with a $500,000 tax bill and end up paying $30,000 in interest and penalties.
Yeah, which is crazy. Okay, so other
hey,
things.
Bill?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but we do have a question. Catherine, welcome to the stage.
Thanks. Quick question here. And I just to start, I am an accountant too. And so just wanted to make sure I was understanding this correctly. So given that it's we're prepaying inventory, correct? And we need to be able to match the expenses with the revenue when they're generated, which are going to be like, you know, for example, the next year. But so what you're saying here is, although we're prepaying, we can still deduct that entire amount right now on the current year tax return. I just want to make sure I understood that correctly.
Right. So I think what you're talking about is accrual-based accounting.
Right, right.
In the tax world, most small businesses file on a cash basis. So if you spend the money, whatever period you spend the money, you can claim a tax deduction for that.
And I think, is it 5 million or has that number been increased? That if you do, it's 25 million now. So Catherine, if you're 25 million and lower, you could take advantage of the cash basis.
Oh, really? Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Great. No, thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. It used to be 5 million and they increased it to 25 million. And 2016, 17. Yeah. And a huge benefit for small businesses. So what we're talking about with Catherine, for those in the room, is that it used to be that you really got taxed on your inventory, right? And that is, if you're under 25 million in gross revenue, that won't happen. You can do it as a cash basis.
That's super helpful. Thank you.
Good. Hope we save some money for you.
Yep, for my startups. Thanks.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. All right. Any other questions out there?
Not at this time. We could just continue on. Ask you in a couple of minutes, but just you're on a roll, so just go for it.
Thanks, Norm. So, actually, you know, that's the main part. I mean, there's some other things that you can do, but you need to really find a tax professional thing. So, you know, if you have a website besides what you have on Amazon, so if you're a private label product and you also have your regular website, you know, you may have an About Us page. And if you have an About Us page and you happen to have a couple of kids, you could certainly pay your kids modeling fees. Just be sure that you capture those pictures and you change them quarterly. And you can pay your kids up to what, $6,000, Lewis? 12, each kid, 12,000?
12 and change.
Wow. And then they don't have to pay taxes at all?
Well, it's kind of sort of yes and no, because if they make $12,000, then the parents can't claim them as the child care deductions. So there's ins and outs of is it a good idea, is it a bad idea?
Right.
So if you're a higher income earner and the tax brackets are much different than what your kids pay, then you pay, say 15% as opposed to 35%, then it's absolutely beneficial to pay your kids.
It's tax arbitrage.
Right.
Just like e-com. E-com has e-com arbitrage. It's tax arbitrage.
Right.
So that's an area that, you know, speak with your tax professional about, but there could be some savings there. Of course, all the standard stuff, like every bit of travel you do, should be certainly captured.
Mileage
on the cars. A lot of people, we find that a lot of e-com businesses miss out on that because they don't think about that. But yeah, they're running errands for their business and they by all means have to capture that. Sure. And that's a big number at the end of the year, right? You're paying wear and tear, gas, and all those things. Norm, we've got about 8 minutes left. So let's turn it over to you for some of the questions that you may have.
Sure. So one of the things that we're talking about it right now, the importance of being able to combine either a bookkeeper, a tax consultant, a CPA. You know, I've made that mistake in the past where I basically, when I had a small business, I just went to my bookkeeper. My bookkeeper was my accountant. there are definitely advantages. I know that there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, especially a small business, it's so expensive, I'm just going to go to, you know, the guy around the corner from me, or I'll just do it myself. And I can't stress enough that the bookkeeper, the CPA, and the person who you're dealing with for tax, if you can, first of all, use all three, and if they are all in the same firm, even better. So I'm a hypocrite here, but I do have a couple of businesses, but one uses a bookkeeper, and then the firm that I use are together. There's a tax consultant as well as an accountant there. I'm from Canada. So that could save you a ton of money. Do you want to?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you want to have it all under one roof, because we see this all the time. We see where because we bring on customers maybe, you know, halfway through the year and they've had books done somewhere else, or we look at last year's tax return versus this year's tax return and we see where they left money on the table. Of course, we can file an amendment to get that back for them, but it happens all the time. Bookkeeping is very different than tax. Bookkeeping is a report card for what happened last month. And so in bookkeeping, you want to understand your cost of goods. You want to understand what all your expenses are. So you're not looking to, I'm going to say this, and Lewis is sitting across from me, so hopefully he doesn't hit me. You know, when you're doing taxes, you're looking to hide everything, right? When you're doing your bookkeeping, you don't want to hide anything because you want to be able to understand what's going on. So then you can cut points off of your cost of goods and you can trim your expenses to make yourself more profitable. So bookkeeping, you want to see the profit. You want to see where you're leaving money on the table. You want to be able to understand how you can be better and do better month over month. That's bookkeeping. Then when you get to tax time, taxes, it rolls all those expenses up into just a few categories. And tax time is all about, and I watch this over and over, how Lewis saves people thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. And so at tax time, you're taking that bookkeeping and you're really, you know, bucketizing it and you're looking for ways to save taxes. Correct, Lewis?
Yeah. You want to try and find the ways to take advantage of the generous deductions that the IRS allows you to take. You want to take advantage of the tax code to your benefit.
Now I understand those of you guys listening out there hearing a CPA say that you want to take advantage of generous tax deductions is not normally the norm in the CPA industry, but we love saving small business owners taxes. And Lewis and his team of tax professionals all feel the same way. How do you maximize those tax savings? He reads the tax regs for enjoyment. So you definitely want a good point, Norm. You want to have it all under one roof because then somebody can walk just across the hallway there and say, hey, what's going on with this particular customer's account? What are these deductions? What are those? And figure out how to best maximize them. If you're just delivering to a CPA at the end of the year, buckets, they're just going to put those buckets on a form and they're not going to worry about saving you money.
You know, my last point, I know that you both have to run, but my last point is all the entrepreneurs or the people that are getting into online selling, and maybe this is your first business, the most important thing you can do, and I stress, you have to do this. It might sound like it's a pain in the butt, but get to know at least the minimal amount you need to know about accounting, like financial statements. Learn, like there's tons of courses out there. They're not expensive. They don't have to be dry, you don't have to become a CPA, but know the minimum, understand what you're reading, those three reports at the end of the day, and just your P&L, your balance sheet. And what a lot of people don't look at is their cash flow report. That'll be our last point of the day.
Yeah, cash flow. So great point, Norm. And cash flow is much different than profit. And so if you think about it, cash flow is water running out of a spigot, right? And profit is what's left in the bucket after you wash the car. And you need cash flow. You need that running water. It's the oxygen of your business. And you need to understand how that money is flowing in and out through your business to be able to invest to buy more inventory. So as your business grows, you actually become cash starved. I'll plug Sellers Funding because they just got that huge funding yesterday, right? To help fund e-com businesses. So when you understand your cash flow and you understand your profitability, magic happens. So what do I mean by that? So if you're running a 20% profit, and to keep the number simple, so you've got $100,000 a month in sales, and $20,000 is hitting the bottom line after you pay all your expenses and you buy your product. So now that 20 grand, so now what you should be thinking as a small business owner is you should be thinking, okay, how do I get my sales to $200,000 a month so $40,000 hits the bottom line, right? And the only way to do that is you got to have that oxygen, you got to have that cash flow to buy more inventory and to do more marketing to get more sales. Now, of course, there has to be demand for the product. You can't just go out and buy more inventory if there's not demand for the product. It's all a balancing act. So when that happens and you say, okay, so I'm making 20% profit. If it costs me 2% to borrow this money for the month, but I'm going to make 20%, then I'm net 18% ahead. And it's a fine dance, and you got to have your numbers to understand that. If you don't have your bookkeeping done monthly, you have no way to know, because what you're doing is you're looking at how much money is left in your bank, and the money that's in your bank is not profit. The money in your bank is cash flow.
Very good. Now, again, it's 12:30. Do you want to just let people know how to get a hold of you if they're interested?
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Norm. It's 12:30 Austin time, right? 1:30 East Coast and 10:30 on California. So we're at Zendoo.com, Xendoo.com, Zendoo.com. And you can reach out if you like to info@zendoo.com, and that email will get to Lewis or myself. Just reference Lewis or Lil, L-I-L, or you could reach out to sales@zendoo.com. We also do free consults, so you could talk to some of our customer success team. If you go to our website, you can schedule on there a 15-minute consult or live chat in. And look, kudos to all of you that are listening in today. You're in the most amazing business that there is, and that is only growing and changing the world. So super happy to be on today. Norm, you know, you're one of my favorites. And thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I can't wait to have you back. Okay, everybody. Well, thank you for joining. If you loved what you heard from Lil and Lewis today, make sure that you follow them. And if you like Startup Room or Startup Club, please click the green button. We're going to be back every Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We've got a great topic next week. We're going to be talking to Elaine Saris, who is she is a defense attorney. And she's going to be coming and talking about how she built up her e-commerce business and basically left to have some incredible success. So that's it for us today. And look forward to seeing you next Thursday at 1 o'clock.